Welcome to the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. We are so excited to welcome you on this journey to amplify your impact, skyrocket your business, and change lives through the power of your unique story. Be sure to listen to the daily prayer along with the speaker sessions and participate in the daily challenge to receive not just inspiring information, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't forget to download the free gifts provided by each speaker, which is an opportunity to go deeper on what they shared. Enjoy this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. Okay, we are here with Renee Padmore, and thank you so much for joining us again for another riveting, shall I say, episode of the Power of Your Story Summit. We never know what we're going to get in these interviews, so be prepared for it all. That's what I like to say. I am one of your hostesses, Carol J. Dunlop, known as the Online Wow Strategist, and my co-host, Nadine Murray. I have to say Murray because she is married now. I want to go back to her old name. I'm not even going to say it. Nadine Murray. And she's taking care of half of the people. I'm taking care of the other half. There's no better halves. We're all awesome and wonderful. So as I said, today we have Renee Padmore on, and she's going to be talking about stewarding her story. So Renee, thank you for being on here and taking some time out of your day, your life, your business to come and share this information with us. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, who you serve, and all that, so we can really get to know you.
All right. Hi, everyone. I am Renee Padmore. Thank you so much, Carol, for having me. I'm really thrilled. I'm really excited to join in with you guys to make this a success and to share on this particular topic. I am from the lovely island of Barbados in the Caribbean. Yes, and I was an educator, but I am an educator still, just in a different capacity. But I have been teaching for over 18 years, but I've been teaching God's word at retreats and churches and different things for like over half my life. And right now, what I do is I work with Christian women who are called to teach, whether they're teaching at home, in ministry, or through business, to really figure out how to make their messages click, how to structure messages that really click and transform, and so they can do it in a way that brings lots of connection and makes a lasting impact. You know, that's something that is near and dear to my heart, and I just love working with people and helping them figure out the best way, you know, to share the message that God has given them, whatever that may be. And to share it in a way that their audience really connects with it, they can learn from it, and that they can grow and move forward. And hopefully they can also minister as well because of the way that they have stewarded what God has put in them. So I'm all about the teaching, the simplicity, the creativity. I'm all about it.
I love especially the creativity and the simplicity. We don't need any more things that are crowding our brains with junk or it's too complicated. We need simplicity all around, wouldn't you say?
That's right. I totally agree. And the thing is, right, is that I find that sometimes, and truthfully, I even was speaking to somebody about this recently, and this came up in a summit that I would have hosted in May. One of the things that I had shared in one of my videos was the fact that we measure our response to what God is saying based on the severity or the magnitude of the thing. So we think, okay, if it's a massive problem, we have to put down like a big prayer or a long prayer. You know, if it's a small thing, we have to, you know, I can take care of it on my own. But, you know, God is really calling us to see that where He is concerned, everything is on one level. And it is just for us to connect with Him to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? And when you look in the Bible, Jesus spoke with people, they had massive problems, like people not being able to walk, not being able to see, you know, and being a leper for a long time and not being able to have community with others. And Jesus gave them simple things to do. He said, you know, pick up your bed, rise, walk. He would say, go show yourself to the leaders. You know, he would say, he said simple things, but simplicity and being obedient, even when it seems as if, like, is it really that simple? I find that if we really like strip away everything, it really is that simple. And I like to help people find ways of truly making it that simple for others when they teach.
I love that. A lot of people always tell me, Carol, you just make it seem so easy. You just make it seem so simple. And the only reason that it is easy and simple to me, I've done it a lot. And I love to break it down to step one, two, three, four, something like that. Because if you can break down the Word of God, something you're studying, something you're about to do, even your life into small segments, you feel accomplished. You feel like I can do that. You know, I really can do that. But if you're everything you look at is one big long thing going on, one big drain on your soul, on your mind, on your
Yes,
brain,
that's right.
you don't want to do it anyway, right?
That's right.
All right. I love that. I love that approach. So now I have some questions to ask you for this Power of Your Story Summit. So you chose the category of stewarding, which is taking care of, nurturing, holding close. Why did you choose that category to talk about?
Okay, well, when I thought of the categories, it was truthfully it was between stewarding your story and sharing your story. But then when I sat down and I thought about, what I really do and what I help people with, I realized it was more into like stewardship more than sharing, and I'll tell you why. So my title that I thought of when I was envisioning everything, it was stewarding your story as a teaching tool, right? And how to share with clarity and not just emotion. And even the title of that particular section of it really speaks to the why. Of why I would have chosen this particular category. I have found that, the art of teaching, sometimes it may not come naturally to some persons, or people just do things that they see other people doing, which may not necessarily be like best practice, but it's a thing, it's a thing that we see people do. And when we talk about stewarding speaks of, taking responsibility, caring for something. And I want people to understand and to see, and it's not just me, this is not my thing, this is actually in the Bible. So when God talks about in Revelation 12, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, the word of our testimony, that really is a story. That is a story of what God has done. I was in this position, God came in, he did this thing, it changed my life, and I cannot help but share this with others. So I find that I feel as if there is a need for that more, no more than ever, in the world, and with how everything is going, and especially like when you look at all the technology and the AI, people want fast, they want convenience. But as human beings, we crave connection. So, and especially as believers, women in business, the important thing is to recognize, I have a story and I have a responsibility because of who I am in God and who he has called me to be. I have a responsibility to steward it well, to nurture it, to take care of it. And the things that I have learned, I have a responsibility to teach others and to share so that they can experience the goodness of God. They can learn, from my experiences, and they then will have a story that they too can share with others. So yes, we share stories, but it's really about recognizing the stewardship of it, owning it, recognizing it belongs to us, it's given to us, it's our experience, it is our identity in God, and recognizing this is who I am, this is who I'm called to be, and part of who I'm called to be is getting the gospel out there. And part of that is in stewarding your story and using it as a tool to teach others. So that's something that I have been doing for a long time. My husband and I, we do it. We have our own worship podcasts. We share testimonies, Bible studies. We are always sharing testimonies. And you'll be surprised how one testimony can turn someone's life around or cause them to think differently, about their situation or have a different approach, about how to deal with problems. So for me, that is really the way of it, being able to use it as a teaching tool and taking ownership of what God has entrusted to us, to use it then to help somebody else.
Yes, definitely. I totally feel what you're saying. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was on a coaching call with this group that I'm a part of, and I had to step away from the group for a minute, money, business, get yourself together type of stuff. And so when I came back, everyone was so welcoming and, oh, welcome back and all that. And I went on live with the leader, and I told him, what had happened. He asked me questions, why did you step away? What happened? And I was like, I had to make a choice, step away for a minute. But I knew I was going to come back. And I had emailed him and said, okay, I'm ready to come back. And they were all so happy. Then he asked me what happened. And I told him, just exactly what I did. You know, my business wasn't making as much money as I wanted. I had to really get my mindset back together, get my thoughts back together, really niche down and be singly focused on marketing so that people would know what I do, right? So isn't that the same thing that we do when we're doing a testimonial? We're telling them, I was at this point, I was blah, 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 blah. And then I asked God, or God came in and did something, and now I'm here. But the thing is, with stewarding, you really have to care for it. You really have to think, I feel you have to think about what you're saying, how you're saying it. Sharing your story is telling people you can do this as well. But you have to be, I don't know, thinking about how you're going to share your story, because you want, when it falls on people, you want
That's
them to
right.
understand. Because, you know, I could easily go out there and say, hey, you know, I took 3 months off from my business. Now I got $1 million and I did this one thing and you need to buy it right now. No, I don't think that's what anybody needs to do. All of us need to say, we had to look inside ourselves. We helped God to look inside of us, and the story that He gave us to go out and share with the world, we have to hold it close, like keep it safe, so that number one, we're always telling the same story. So if someone comes to us and say, oh, I don't think it happened like that, why would you think that? It happened just this way. And so that we stay in alignment with our faith, we stay in alignment with our heart, we stay in alignment with God, so that when people go out there and try to do whatever it was that we said we did, it happens to them just as well if they follow the steps that we say. That's why I like the stewarding part, because we are caring for it like a garden. You know, we're watering it. We're maybe we have to add to our story sometimes, because guess what? Things happen, things change, illness, sickness, greatness, awesome things. So we kind of, you know, it's not just like one and done. This is your story. This is all it'll ever be. It's always changing, don't you
That's
think?
right. I agree, because we are not just like we are not static, you know, things are always moving. And we are going through experiences all the time. What I will say though is one of the things that I have found that can help. Well, I would have mentioned in the beginning that I'm from Barbados, but I also mentioned that my husband and I, we do ministry. So we got connected with our church family in Georgia. It's a church called Abiding Church. So we got connected with them. That in and of itself is a whole stewarded story and testimonial, right? But one of the things that we would have done, we started a school of the supernatural back in 2022. And on Sunday nights, we would come together, we would pray, you know, we would speak into each other. And one of the things that we earmarked was the importance of being able to be comfortable sharing our story amongst the people we see every week at church. Because the thing is, if you see people every week at church and you tell them hi, and you go to community groups with them, you know, and Bible study, and you don't feel comfortable sharing about what God is doing with your brothers and sisters you see every week, if God nudges you to speak to somebody in the line at the supermarket or to share a word with somebody who is in the mall and sitting at a table and they're looking as if like they don't know what to do next. We are not going to want to do it because we're not comfortable. So one of the things we did is we practiced having a story, and we did the story like if you only had 1 minute to share something from this story with someone, what would it be? And then like a if you had almost like a coffee chat, like a 10-minute thing, like how would you steward that same story to fit that setting? And then like if somebody called you then to like to teach or to lead a session or like how we have like a like our session right now, and you had, let's say, 20 to 30 minutes, and you were called to share in front of a group. How would you steward that story? It's the same story, you know, but depending on how much time you have and the setting and where you are, that determines what you will do. And do you know it well enough? Are you familiar with all the aspects of it? Do you know the most important things that people need to hear in any moment so that whether you have 1 minute, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes, you can steward that story well to speak life into someone, you know, or to give them something to think about or to learn from. So I have found that that was very valuable, and that is one of the things that I do when I think about stewarding a story. Renee, how well do you know this story? What are the things that God wants you to say, no matter how much time you have to share it? And
I
that
love
calls for
that.
nurturing it, you know, and
And
being really
understanding.
intentional. Yes, yes.
Intentional, strategic. You know, the same
Yes.
thing we use in our life, we use in our business. Sometimes business imitates life, and sometimes it's the other way around, but same thing. You know, even if we're looking like, you know, well, I'm a Christian woman, I have a business, we don't necessarily have to go up to someone and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian woman with a business."
Right.
I feel that your Christianity, your love, your for the Savior, for God, for Jesus should come out in your words and how you are. Your light should be shining and that aura should be around you so that when people come up to you, if you've been nurturing that story and holding on to it, they're going to look at you and, "I know she has something for me." You know how people say, "I know you got something for me," or "This is for someone," or whatever. And it'll be able to flow out of you and you'll be able to help them. So I love that's a great
Yes.
exercise. I love that. So I also wanted to ask you, how do you feel this category, stewarding your story, applies to what you're doing and have done in your business?
Okay. Well, where do I even begin? Okay, so I mentioned before that I work with people to help them teach, you know, and to teach with clarity. And I always like to say to people, and I would have mentioned this in like a masterclass, I would have recorded, I tell people this all the time. When we look at life, we pretty much enjoy things that fall under like two main categories. They're either products or they're processes. So I like to use the analogy of a book. Let's say you have a book. If you pick up any book, books always go through a certain process. Even with the AI age and everything, there's a process to making a physical book. You know, you have to have like the pages, you have to have the ink and the page numbers
The
and the
glue, the
binding,
stitching.
the stitching. So there's a certain process to actually making the thing. But for no, for writing your book, there's also a process and a structure. So you know, you brainstorm, you come up with your ideas, and then you put down your draft and you start to edit and you go in and you pick through and you do all you need to do until you get the finished product. So in the same way how you have processes and products that we enjoy, we do those things because they have structure to them and structures work. Just like going to a restaurant. You know, when you go to a fast food restaurant, you know what to do. You know that you go to the counter, you order, you say, "I want the number whatever with a large fries," or you know, whatever. And then you go, you pay, you step to the side, and then you collect your order. But if you
The
do fine
process.
dining, you know that when you do fine dining, there's no walking up to a counter and pointing at a number. You know, you wait for the waitress or the stewardess or whoever the person is at the front. And then they ask you to take a seat, and then they bring the menus. They ask you, "Would you like anything to drink?" They bring water. So depending on where you are, you know the process. So you know what to do, and you know what to expect. So in the same way that everything has structure and order, teaching also has structure and order. And sometimes I find that if we are not sure about what it is, that's one of the reasons why messages are lost. Because sometimes there's a desire to just give people information. So we just inform, we give the information that people can easily Google. So it's like, so what makes what you do different from me going to the AI, you know, or going to Google to find out? Now, in the same way that I help people to structure messages that have a blueprint. And I have my blueprint for my teaching funnel, CAV framework, and I use that to help persons structure their teaching. I also want people to understand that stewarding your story and putting your story together is also a structure, which is why sometimes you would hear people tell a story and they either like start to repeat themselves, or they say something and then they say, oh, I forgot this part. And then like they go back after they've already been forward because it kind of lacks structure. So I always made the distinction the same way how everything we enjoy in life, the things that are successfully done, whether it's a product you buy or a process that you experience or you go through, it has a structure. There's a form that of it that works, and it has been proven, it has been tested, it has been tried, and you just go with the flow and you just do it naturally. But sometimes it doesn't come naturally when it comes to teaching, and it doesn't always come naturally when it comes to telling a story. So part of stewarding the story is also knowing how do I structure this thing in a way that is going to leave an impact when I'm done speaking? How am I going to put this story together so that it's not just me telling a story to connect with people, but it grabs them from the beginning and they understand why it's important and they figure out how am I going to deliver it. And then they go through
Right.
things like how do they start to apply what I'm teaching in this story? And then what can I do to help them to retain it? All of those things, those are the structures in my the tiers in my teaching funnel, which is the
Right.
introduction, context, you have delivery, application, and then retention. So it works for teaching and it also
Right.
works for stewarding your story, figuring out how to put it together. So that's one of the reasons too why I chose the stewarding, because it recognized that part of the nurturing is in figuring out the right structure and how to put everything together so that it doesn't just like touch people's hearts, but it lingers long after.
Wow. That is so deep. That is so good. I love what you just said because you can apply it to anything, any kind of story, any kind of whether it's work, whether it's Bible study, whether it's putting a presentation together, you can apply that.
Exactly. And I'm glad you see that because even like with the whole my CAV framework, I'm glad you mentioned Bible study because that is how it started. Now, this is what I did is that I have taken how I prepare lessons, everything that I do, whether I am doing a retreat and leading a session, whether I'm doing a presentation, a workshop, a lesson. I've pretty much taken all of my years' experience and from doing what I know works, and I kind of condense it in a format that people, even if you're not an educator, you can still follow a structure and work it out. And my CAV framework actually started from a need for women in my community who would have said, well, you know, Renee, when I'm at church, I follow what the pastor says, you know, I can understand what he does. But then when I'm home, I don't know where to begin. I don't know like how to go into the word, how to read it, how to begin understanding it. And it was, I remember I was thinking out loud, how can I get somebody to like figure out what to do for Bible study? Like, how can they teach themselves? And then it hit me, if they're teaching themselves, I said, well, I can teach that because I'm a teacher. So then I came up with the whole CAV, which is knowledge, action, value. And it's a simple, simple form, but it
Simple,
once you,
yes, it is.
yes,
Yes,
but
it's very simple.
it's simple, but when you follow the steps to actually get the CAV to come alive, then I was able then to show them, well, this is how you can approach Bible study. And you can take this and use with any Bible verse, you know, pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. But this is these are steps that you can follow. So then because it started there, then I realized, you know, I can also apply it to anything, to presentations, to lessons. So it's the same principle. Same
I love
principles.
that. I love that. And you and I have talked before about that when you were on my podcast and you
Yes.
explained it. And it is, it's got three letters. It is three concepts. It is very easy to do. Just you saying it, like, yes, it is as simple as her saying it. And then you must have some divinity going on because the next question that I'm going to ask you've kind of already answered it, but I'm going to say it anyway. How can listeners emulate what you've done with your story inside their own business, whether they are trying to do Bible study, presentations, whatever, how can they emulate what you're doing inside their own business?
All right. Yeah, I kind of touched on it a bit, but what I will say is when you think about your business, and it doesn't matter what business you have, if you are a Christian, you are also a representative of Christ and you're also an ambassador. So whenever you tell a story, always remember knowledge, action, value. What do you want people to know? This should be something that they need to learn. We call it like cognitive thinking, but without getting into all the big terms, what can they sit down and like explain when you're finished? What do they know about it? You know, what is the action you want them to take away? What is the thing you want them to do? Because you don't just want people to hear a story and say, oh, that was nice, you know, and just leave. But there must be something that they are to do, whether it's to do more of something, whether it's to do something differently, whether it's to try something in a way they never have before in order to get a different result or to get the result they want. And then when we talk about value, you want to talk about how can people think about the attitude or the emotions or the mindset that they have, and what are some of the things then that you can get them to think differently about. Because in my model, think of the model as like a little stool. So a stool has three legs. So you have the knowledge pillar, you have the action pillar, you have the value. And the thing is that very often we are either really, really like knowledge driven or really, really action driven, but sometimes we don't take the time to really like let people think about how what they are doing or what you're introducing them to, you know, how it can affect their value system, you know, how it can affect the way they think about it. So you wouldn't want to sit on a stool with just two legs. That does not look very sturdy. So if somebody
No.
brought you a stool and told you to sit on it, and I mean, like, it's even worse if it only has one leg. Like, for sure, you are not going to last.
Exactly.
You know,
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
you are
You're
not
going
going
to
to
get
make it.
tired. You're going to get tired and fall over. I love
That's
that
right.
analogy with
Yes.
the three legs that make up the stool. And I've used that in my business a lot because you got to
Yeah.
have this, and this, or none of it really matters. And
Right.
you said something that's very, I guess, true for a lot of us Christians and stuff. Everything we do is a representation of God and what we believe. So if
Yes.
we believe something and we do it, where did we learn that from? Did we learn it from the Bible? Did we learn it from, teachings? Did we learn it from seeing it in our mothers and fathers and family and stuff? So we're just like a group of all this stuff put together, a conglomeration, melting pot of all this stuff that we put together. And we represent what God says that we can be, what we are, what we do in everything. It's not like we just get to take our business and put it on the side. You know how some people say that I'm gonna take my Christianity and put it over here for a minute while I
Yeah.
deal with this.
I just said that and they
That's
asked
not
Jesus for five
possible.
minutes. It's like, no, you can't do
Right.
that.
It not possible. I mean, you can
Yeah.
do your stuff and ask for forgiveness, which if you do it like that and you're like, oh, I did something. Let me ask for forgiveness or let me talk this over with God. Because I talk to God just like, he's my person, he's here, he's helping me. Because sometimes, I just call on him like, Lord, help me. And that is a prayer. And I use that a lot sometimes, but then other times I really want to get in deep with it, just like we do in our business. We have some projects that are huge, we have some projects that are really small and quick and easy, and we can get them done. But it's everything we do, everything, our words, our actions are all tied to what we believe and how we put that out there. And I love that you have this model of teaching that helps people to really get it. Because a lot of people, and I totally agree with what you're saying, they just give you knowledge, 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 they just keep throwing this stuff. But if you don't have time to absorb it, to think about it, to say, how does this fit in with what I believe?
Yes,
Or
how to apply it.
or they slip something by you, like, wait a minute, I don't believe in that, or that doesn't sound quite right. Let me go study up on it or something. But if you're just always pushing stuff at people, you have to give them time to absorb it, to see how they feel about it. And to take action on it. Even when we're reading from the Bible and because it's coming out of our mouth, let them read it themselves. Let them see, and they have their own knowledge. So that's my best thing. Got your own knowledge. Yes. You can think God gave us free will. We can do as we need to, and He's there to help guide us because really and truly, we are still children. Even though we're 50, 60, 70, 40, even upwards to 100. We're still not as old as God, and we still don't have the experience that He has with creating a world and keeping it together and all of that stuff. So I love that. Love that. All right, final question for you. What is the lesson God has taught you about your story?
All right. One lesson that God has taught me is that my story is important, no
Yes.
matter what I think about, like my origins, my beginnings, or the things that I may put on myself that I need to move past. And I'll say this, the reason why I said that, when I in the at the beginning I mentioned like how we got connected to the church in Georgia. I remember even with the whole testimony of how that whole thing unfolded, when we finally got there and we were there from the very beginning, from the very first service. And I remember I kept looking at Brian and I was asking him, like, why are we here? Like, why are we here? We are not the only people who have the ability to play the guitar and to sing and to do different things. Why are we here?
Right.
And growing up, like Barbados is really tiny. I tell people all the time, if you do not know where to look, you will not find it. It looks like if somebody was painting the map, and then when they moved the paintbrush, like there was a little bloop that dropped outside of the island chain, and they never realized. And then they're printing the map, and it's like, what's this? And it's like, oh no, that's really a country. That is Barbados. Barbados is that small. We are just 166 square miles. And I remember growing up, I always had the mentality that whatever I knew, people in bigger nations, they knew that and they knew more. So that's something that I had struggled with for a long time. And I always wondered what would I have, or what do I have within me that can be used outside of Barbados, maybe in the Caribbean for another island that is, the same size. But that's something that God had to really help me work on to recognize if he has called me to it,
Right.
that is what he has called me to, and there is a story attached to that that can bless someone else. So one of the
Exactly.
lessons that I learn is my identity. And I'm very big on this. I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what job you have, it doesn't matter what you do in life, if you don't come to the realization of, who you are in Christ, who God has called you to be, and owning that and letting that drive you, you're going to find it very difficult to walk in purpose. So if it's one thing that God would have taught me, is the importance of recognizing my identity and knowing
Right.
that it is found in the truth of who he has said I already am, and not in my own limited mind and my experiences that I will want to use to hold me back. And I have to remind myself about it all the time. So even when I plan things, I would say like, who's gonna come to this, or I might say I'm gonna go to this place, and it's like, but who's gonna listen to me? It's like, there's so many other people, they're bigger names, they're people with more experience. But that's not what it is about. It's about connecting to the identity we have in God, recognizing that if God gave us an identity, there's a path that I walk that no one else walks, and there are
Right.
things that he has for me bound up in my story to tell that nobody else can tell, and it's my
So true.
responsibility to share it. So if it's one thing I would say, it is embrace the identity that Christ
Yes.
has given you. It's all in the word, it's all over the word. You're an ambassador of Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are created in God before the foundations of the earth were laid. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece. He has said so many things about us, so we just need to identify with them and
Right.
recognize, you know what? This is the truth. This is not going to change. Lord, help me to move past the things I think about myself and my experiences to step into that truth and do what you have called me to do.
Ooh, you said a lot right there because, especially women, we are always doubting ourselves, thinking, for instance, and I'm going to put myself in there because you were recently in a bundle that I did for my business. And me and God had some conversations around that thing. He said, do it. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it, but God, do I need to try to get sponsors for this thing? He was like, yes, of course you do. And I was like, really? I've never gotten any sponsors for anything I've done, except one time on my podcast years ago. And I just don't think anybody's going to be sponsoring this free bundle. I was so wrong. I was so wrong. I did it anyway. Sometimes we have to do it scared. We have to do it scared. We scared of it. We don't know what's going to happen, but we have to do it anyway, just to say, if anything else, hey, I did it. So I did it. I put it out there and I got three sponsors. I was like mind blown. But God was sitting back there saying, see, I told you, what are you so scared of? Why are you, it's not like I'm doubting the word. And I want to put that out there because people are like,
That
it's
is
not like I'm
important.
doubting, right? I'm not doubting the word. The doubt is me. I'm doubting me that I can actually do this. And sometimes I think there's no place for doubt. If God said to do it, then we just do it. We just got to do it. We got to take action. Like you say, I always say, take action. You have action in your model. We must do that. And sometimes we have to do it scared, like we said. Sometimes we have to do it with blinders on. Sometimes we have to hold our hands over our ears so we don't hear that noise all around us, because sometimes that noise is what stops us from stewarding our story the right way, or even mouthing what we need to mouth, because, like you said, we're holding our story dear, close to our heart, and someone right next to us or even across the way needs to hear that so that they can either be healed or have confidence moving forward or whatever. So, that's my little two cents on that. Do it scared. Do it scared. Just go ahead and do it. Listen to God. I believe that He's talking to us all the time. We just aren't listening sometimes, especially when people say, "Well, I don't hear God talking." Girl, you ain't listening. You're not listening. Listening is being totally quiet by yourself, without the noise coming in, and you're concentrating. I think when you get like that, you can hear the word of God come in and tell you what it is that you need to do, have to do, what you did wrong. Just being real about this stuff. If we're being real with our story when we steward it and then we share it, great things are going to come out of it, no matter what the story is. Great things are going to come out of it.
Yes, and even if you don't see all the great things, like that's one of the things that faith is about. Like I can tell you something now, or somebody can listen to this particular this particular part of the summit, and they can be energized and activated to go out and do something. And we never know about it. They never tell you, Carol. They never tell me, but it does its job. So like you never know the impact when you walk in obedience, but for sure there's blessing in obedience and being in the place that God calls us to be.
Yes, definitely. All right. So two things before I let you go. So this has been wonderful, which I knew it would be, because we're always ushering the Holy Spirit in to help us get through those little stumbly parts or things that we are like, we're not sure of. But last two things. Number one, how can people get in touch with you and find you out there on that worldwide web internet streets? And then what is the gift that you have for people? And the link will be below.
Okay. Well, you can email me at renee@fitandfreshforlife. All the contact info you will find. That's my email. You can always find me on LinkedIn, Renee Padmore. I spend most of my time on LinkedIn, and I also have an Instagram presence. I may check messages if people message me, but I leave a presence so that if anybody finds me there, I can guide them to where I really want them to be. You know, so you can find me there on Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also email me. And the gift that I want to leave, an identity coloring page and activation worksheet. Now, I know we were talking about stories. Let me just say, I know we've been talking about storytelling, you know, and stewarding a story. But I have recognized that sometimes there are prerequisite skills or prerequisite things that we need. Before we jump right into stewarding a story and, you know, structuring a story, I want us to become one with the idea of the identity we have in Christ. Yes. Because when that is settled, I find that all the barriers that we have had before, you know, all the things that we think can't work, suddenly those things just, I don't want to say they disappear, but we start to see ways that we can move past them. So yes, even though we're about stewarding our story, I would have mentioned before about the importance of, and for me, you know, really locking in with the identity that God has given me. Because once that is in there, there isn't anything that you will not do that God says to do. So I want to leave that as a coloring page. It has some of the identity words that God would have mentioned in the word, but there's also a worksheet that I love that you can use for activation. So then based on the particular words and what those words mean, how can that motivate you or activate you into doing the thing that God has called you to do? So if you have a masterpiece, God says you're his masterpiece. What does that mean for you, for your life, for your path, for your business? You know, if he says that you are chosen, what does being chosen mean? So it's something that we need to really think about. And when we start to really think about those things and really hold on to the identity we have, then the thoughts of the story we have and owning it and stewarding it and nurturing it, it becomes much easier to do. So that's what I want to leave to encourage anyone who listens. And that's something that you need to really cement, work on that identity and activation. And then you will see how God will use that to really push you to take the story that you do have and structure it well and use it to leave a legacy, to impact people, to teach, you know, to share with others.
I love that. This has been amazing. Amazing. I mean, that story thing that we're going to do, the coloring, which is going to activate our inner brain, is going to connect to our heart. It's going
to
get
and to the word.
See,
yes.
Yes. Yes. And y'all can't see her, but I could see her. And when she was telling us, holding her eyes were bright, she was just all into it. So if you want to feel that way, so all you have to do is click the link below, go get that, start doing it so you can know what your story is, embrace it, nurture it, keep it, and then be able to share it as we're going to talk about in other sessions in this summit. Yes. So Renee, thank you so much for sharing this time. It was very enlightening for me.
I knew it
would be amazing. It totally was. And you are so very blessed for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, definitely. All right, everyone, stay tuned for the next session. I know you will be empowered and blessed as well. Thank you and see you next time. Thank you for listening to this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. If you haven't already, be sure to listen to the daily prayer at the top of the page and make sure you check out the daily challenge. The challenges are specific to each category and are located at the bottom of the page. Are you thinking that you won't be able to listen to, learn from, or enjoy each of the 24 interview sessions?
No worries. Simply upgrade to the Power of Your Story All Access Premium Pass. You'll get lifetime access to all 24 recordings, plus the Power of Your Story swag bag worth over $2,555. There's no better time than right now to create and promote your story and skyrocket your business, and you'll have access to the tools you need forever. Click the link to upgrade right here on the page. Thank you again, and stay tuned for the next speaker.